If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Luke. I would like to read from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 40. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 40. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, and the privilege to know that Thou art our Father, that Thou dost love us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're thankful that Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful to know that one day we're going to be with Thee forever in that home eternal in the heavens not made with hands. But Lord, we thank You that while we live here in this world, that You come down and You dwell with us. We're able to feel Your presence and Your power, to be able to feel the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, to be able to know that You're with us. You promised that Thou would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You, Lord, for the felt presence of Your Holy Spirit. And we pray that as we begin to study Thy Holy Word this day, that Thy Spirit would be manifest, that You would help us all, that we might be able to hear and understand and believe and obey Thy holy word. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You for all of the blessings of this past week. We can never thank You enough. We know that every day You load us with benefits, but we've had great and special blessings during this past week, and we thank You for all of those and pray that You would help us during this week not to just thank You with the words of our mouth, but help us by the deeds of our lives to show forth the gratitude that we feel for Thy goodness to us. We do beg Thy special blessings on those that are sick and afflicted and those who have special burdens and problems. We pray that You would help them and help us to know how to help one another. Again, now we pray that You would bless us as we study Thy holy word. Teach us and instruct us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 40. The Word of God says, "Now when the sun was setting, and all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto Him, and He laid His hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuking them," that is rebuking those devils, "suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was the Christ. And when it was day, He departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought Him and came unto Him and stayed Him, that He should not depart from them." Isn't it amazing that some people wanted Jesus to stay with them and others wanted Him to get away? There were times that Jesus went to places and they wanted to drive Him away. They didn't want any part of Him. And then there were others that didn't want Him to leave. These particular people at Nazareth, they did not want Jesus to leave. But Jesus says in verse 43, "And He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And that's the main thought that's on my heart, is the last part of that verse of Scripture where Jesus says, that I must go and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Jesus is saying here that one of the main reasons that I'm sent into the earth is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And everywhere Jesus went, any of you that would like scriptures to look at this, I think it's a wonderful study, but everywhere Jesus went, that's what He preached about. Every single minister that Jesus ever sent out to preach the gospel, that's what He told them to preach about, was the kingdom of God. He said, "I'm going to preach the kingdom of God. I'm being sent by God to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God." Now, the main reason I want us to, and I pray that God will help us, I know that God has burdened my heart greatly for all of us here to understand that we have a purpose and a work to do in our lives. Everybody here that's a child of God has works for you to do. The Word of God teaches us that as children of God, that God has called us to serve Him. And there are many works that we have in common. There are some things that all of God's children are called to do. That is, there are some works that every one of us is called to do. We don't just have one work. I think sometimes people have the idea that they only have one thing to do in their lives. Did Jesus only have one work to do? Right here he says, I am sent to preach the kingdom of God. Was that a major part of his work? Was it the only work that God gave him to do? The greatest work of all that God gave to Jesus to do, when the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I believe that that's the greatest and most important work that Jesus came to do, was to save his people from their sins. That was his primary purpose in coming into the world, was to save a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And Jesus accomplished that work, but there were other works, and right here he says, I am sent to preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. I'm sent for that purpose, to preach the kingdom of God. Go with me in your Bibles to John just a moment. I want us to go through, first of all, this morning, and I pray that God will help us to, as we think about Jesus and we think about what were His works, I pray that God will help us to see that there is a pattern that's set forth in the life of Jesus that also is set forth in the life of every child of God. That just as Jesus had a primary work and He had many other works that God gave Him to do, I believe that all of you as children of God, that you have a primary work, but you have other works that you are to do. For example, did Jeremiah have a primary work that God called him to do? Did Jeremiah have a primary work in his life? God says in Jeremiah chapter 1, He says, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet among the nations. Now, brethren, Jeremiah was going to be a prophet. That was something that was ordained of God. That was a great work, and it was an important work that Jeremiah had to do, was to be a prophet unto the nations, and he was a prophet to the nations. He was hated, and he was despised, and he was called the weeping prophet. But he still carried out the work that the Father had for him to do. So Jeremiah had a primary work. Is that all that Jeremiah did in his life? Certainly not. There were many other things that God called Jeremiah to do. I believe, brethren, that I was called of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe I was called at an early age, and I felt a great burden to do that. But I don't believe that's the only work that God has for me to do. For example, when God gave me children, He gave me a work to do with those children. Do you follow that? I did that for a while, all I did was concentrate on pastoring and preaching and going around preaching the Word of God, and I greatly neglected my family until God opened my eyes one day here at this church. God opened my eyes to the fact that I was failing to fulfill other works that He gave me in my life. I was not being a good husband. I was not raising my children. I was not training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Was I taking them to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night? Was I doing many other things that I was supposed to do? Indeed, I was. But I'm telling you, brethren, I was not training them. I was not spending the time with them that I was supposed to spend with them. I was not doing the work of parenting that God gave me to do. You cannot neglect any work that God has given you to do and that be pleasing to God. Occasionally, there are people, I've seen mothers that in the church, I have seen mothers that became very committed and dedicated in being a good Christian, but they neglected the main work they had for a while, and the main work that every mother in this congregation has is to work with your children. While you have them at home, you're to work with them and train them and be a good mother to those children. That is a major work. It is an important work. And you cannot neglect that work and run around serving other people and being a minister to other people and helping other people and neglect your children and God be pleased with your work. Does everybody understand that? Brethren, it takes wisdom from God to know how to do all the different works that God has called us to do. There are many times that the works that God has called us to do, that those works overlap and they fit in with other works that God has called us to do. But still, I want you to know that God has called every one of you. And listen, brethren, the primary responsibility in the home to bring up your children and train your children in the way they should go, the primary work is not, the primary responsibility is not to the mother, it's to the father. Fathers are the ones that God has called to be the head of the house and to have the primary work. And if as men, we're not doing the work that God has called us to do, if we're not working with our children, if we're not training our children, if our children are not learning, let me tell you this, brethren, there are a lot of people that just want to cast their children aside. And they're busy worrying about all other people, but they're neglecting their own family. And God is not pleased with that. Doesn't matter how many other people you're out there serving. There's an old statement, it's not a specific statement from the Scriptures, but it is true, and that is that charity begins at home. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do at home, if you're not working with your children may go to private school, public school, it doesn't matter where your children go to school, it doesn't matter how your children are being educated, you cannot cast that work to someone else. You have a responsibility to educate your children, to train them and to teach them, not only in the things of God, but in every other way. You're supposed to be preparing those children to be good Christian workers. You're to set an example for them. And if you're neglecting that work, I pray that God will help you to get right back to it. And to start back being a good mother and a good father, because that's an important work. If you have children, that's an important work God's given you to do. If you have grandchildren, I encourage everybody here that has grandchildren that you spend a lot of time working with those grandchildren to try to teach them and instruct them. Teach them the Word of God, yes. Teach them the Word of God. While we were in on our, we stopped and spent the night with Jeff and Marie and Indian Springs Friday night before we went on to Atlanta Saturday, and there was a program on, Jeopardy, was that it? It was interesting. That was the only thing we watched, was just about 15 minutes of that, but it's amazing the amount of knowledge that some people have. Did you know that? There were young people that were 15 to 18 years old that were on that program. And they would just ask them questions, and their heads were packed with knowledge. I would know about 1 out of 10 is all I would know. Didn't know hardly anything. But those young people, they knew. They had a tremendous amount of knowledge. But there was one of those three that she was far superior to the other two. Far superior. And she wasn't even an American. And yet she knew more about American history. She knew more about math. She knew more about science. She knew more about every subject that came up. She would just boom, 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 boom. Do you know why that's true? Do you know why that's true? I'll guarantee you, brethren, those parents of that young lady have spent a tremendous amount of time and energy working with that young lady. I know that people learn in different ways. I understand that. We've had three children that we've tried to educate, And one of those three children, my wife had to sit down with that child every day, spent hours every day working with that child. If she had neglected her work, that child would have never had hardly any education. Do you understand what I'm saying? It took a lot of work. And I pray that God will help everybody here to understand that your children are important work for you to carry out. Jesus had a lot of different work. What do I think is his number one work in this earth? What was his number one work? To save his people from their sins. What did we just read was another work that Jesus gave, that Jesus said, I'm sent to do. I am sent to preach, not just the gospel in general, but what? The kingdom of God. I've been sent to preach the kingdom of God. Listen, brethren, if every single preacher, listen carefully, and this is true, every single preacher in the New Testament preached the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Every one of them preached the kingdom of God. I can give you 86 preachers in about 3 minutes that every single one of those preachers preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. They were sent. That was a work that God gave them to do, was to go preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is the focus of the New Testament, is the kingdom of God. And if preachers are not preaching on the subject of the kingdom of God, they're missing the primary focus of the New Testament, because that's what the New Testament is primarily about, is the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus went preaching. That's what we ought to be preaching today. It's important that the church be established in that truth. But that's not the only truth. Once a church is established in that truth, there are many other truths in God's Word. The church is supposed to be established on the truth of salvation by grace. The church is supposed to be established on the truth of the kingdom of God. And the church is to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a work, that's a function, that's a purpose of the church, is that we keep studying the Word of God and keep learning and keep growing. And if we're not growing spiritually, if we're not studying the Word of God and we're not growing spiritually, and that takes you studying on your own, but if we're not growing spiritually, then we're declining spiritually. Is there a work for you to do in studying God's holy word? Yes, there is. Look at John just a moment now. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18. Here's another work that Jesus had to do. And while you're turning to John 18, as we look at another work of Jesus, I want to remind you this, that sometimes the devil will tempt you to want to know what is every work that you're going to be doing down the road. Everybody follow what I'm saying? I want to know what I'm going to do. If I was 16 years old, I'd want to know, who's my wife going to be? I'd want to know, what am I going to be doing in a few years? My mama had my life pretty well planned out. We had a first cousin that was vice president of Coca-Cola Bottling Company. And when I was in college, he said, I've got a job waiting for you. You're just going to soar in the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. And that's what my mama had planned out. And to the day that I actually went into the ministry, she still wrote me a letter and said, please don't be a preacher. Don't you know what Uncle So-and-so has for you? Listen, brethren, God has a work for you. God has a work for you. God has many works for you to do. And you may not know what your work is going to be 5 years from now. I don't believe anybody here necessarily knows what their work is going to be five years from now. I don't think you necessarily know what all you're going to be doing in your life. But I'll promise you this, the Word of God says this. Listen carefully to this scripture. The Word of God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Do you follow that? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That is, God, those people, the children of God that are following God's Word and God's way, God is going to direct their steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And by faith, I don't have to know what I'm going to be doing a year from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. You don't have to know that. Doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to know all about the future. All you need to know is if I do the work that God has given me to do today, God's going to tell me what work to do tomorrow, and God's going to direct my steps the rest of my life. Do you believe that? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The Scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You don't have to be worrying about who you're going to marry in 5 years or 10 years. You don't have to worry about what job you're going to be having. You don't have to worry about what the economy is going to be or what's going to happen to our nation. All you need to do, brethren, is just think about what is the work. You need to know the work that God has for you to do today. Amen. And that's all you need to know today is the work God has for you to do today. But you need to know that work. You might say, well, I'm going to pray about what work God would have me to do. Listen, brethren, there are many of the works that God has for you to do that are already spelled out in His Word. And if you're not going to do these works, He's not going to direct you in the other works that He has for you to do. So if you're neglecting these works, please don't sit around praying for God to direct you in other works. If you're not going to do the things He's already spelled out in black and white, if you're not already going to do these works, I do not believe He will guide you in those other works that He has. Listen now in John chapter 18. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. The Word of God says in John chapter 18, verse 36. Now, again, what was the primary work that God gave Jesus to do? It was to save His people from their sins. Salvation. Eternal salvation. What was the second work that we looked at that God has called Jesus to do? It's to preach the kingdom of God. Preach the kingdom of God. Now I want you to listen in John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. The Word of God says, Jesus answered. He's talking to Pilate. Pilate is questioning Him, and they're discussing things, and Jesus answered in John 18 and verse 36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. What has Jesus been going about preaching? What has He been going about preaching? The kingdom of God. And now He makes it very clear, this kingdom of God that I've been preaching about, it is my kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's not our kingdom. It's Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate said, therefore, unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Now listen carefully to this sentence. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Do you hear what Jesus is saying there? Did he know I've been brought into this world to be a what? To be a what? To be a king. I've been brought into this world to be a king. I have a kingdom. I'm in the process of setting up my kingdom. I'm the king of this kingdom. To this end was I born. Now listen, brethren, was it necessary when he was 6 years old, was it necessary for him to know that one day he was going to be the king of the kingdom? Was that necessary for him? I know he knew it, but I'm saying, was it necessary for him to know that? No. All he needed to know when he was 6 years old was, honor thy mother and thy father. And I must do the works of my heavenly Father. You remember when his parents had left him there in Jerusalem and they came back. And he was confounding the doctors and the lawyers. And he told his parents when they came back and began to rebuke him. He said to them, he said, wist ye not, know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business. He had work to do right there, didn't he? Was it to be a king right there? Was that the work right then? No. All his work right then was to tell people the truth about God. Can little children tell people the truth about God? Absolutely, they should. And they can't tell people about things. Sister Angel, I want you to tell me about calculus. Can you tell me about calculus? You can't tell me about calculus? Do you know why Sister Angela can't tell me? Brother Matt, can you tell me a little about calculus? Say it again. A little bit. All right. The difference. What's the difference? Sister Angela is in the seventh grade. Is that right? She's not supposed to know about calculus yet. Do you follow that? That's not something that is part of her life right now. Brother Matt uses math in all kinds of ways. His wife, Sister April, you know about calculus, don't you? A little more, maybe. They know. Why does Sister April know so much about math? It's because she was trained. She was taught. She teaches math. She teaches elevated math. She has a tremendous knowledge of math. I hardly remember much about trigonometry, much less about calculus. Those things are gone from my mind because I haven't used them. Listen, brethren, if you don't work with your children, and if you don't work yourself every day, if you don't study the Word of God, you can't tell other people the truth about God's Word. The only way you can share the truth of God's Word is that you know God's Word. Sister Angela can't tell anybody about calculus because she doesn't understand calculus. That she may one day be like Sister April and be able to teach calculus, but right now she can't. It's all right, but she has a work to do right now. She has a work to do right now. She's doing a lot of works right now that are pleasing to God. Did you know that? These little bitty children, we have a lot of works. Now, if you don't train them, they're not going to be doing the works that God has for them to do. Jesus says, I was born to this end, was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world, that I would be a king. And he came, and he eventually was a king. But he wasn't born a king. Well, in the mind and purpose of God, he was. But you understand, he was not a king while he was born or as a child. He wasn't functioning as a king right then. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Now, if Jesus is going to be a king, I want you to just think about if Jesus is a king, and this is one of the reasons they did not believe that Jesus was a king. When you think of a king, what do you think about? When you think of a king, just give me any kind of description that you think of when you think of a king. What do you think of?
Power.
Power, crown, what else?
Kingdom.
Okay, you got to have a kingdom. You got to have, okay, Sister Greta? Oh, okay, a princess. Okay. Okay, listen, let's stay on that. That's important. A king needs a bride, doesn't he? A king needs a bride. Does Jesus, the king, have a bride? Yes, he does. The bride is the church of Jesus Christ. Did you know that many of the works of the bride of Christ, many of the works of the bride of Christ are very similar to the works of Christ himself? You know, I have a work as a minister. Let me just say that for a moment. Did you know my wife helps me tremendously in my ministry? She helps me study. Coming back from Atlanta yesterday, I said, here are some visits we need to make this coming week. And we were talking about specific visits that she and I need to go make together. She helps me in my ministry. Did you know the bride of Christ has a work to do that is very similar to many of the works that Jesus did? What was, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there. You can turn to Peter and look at this later. But one of the works of Jesus was to set an example for us to know how to live. Did you know that? That was one of his works, was to set an example. Did he do that in his life? Did he show us how to live? Did he just tell you how to live, or did he show you how to live? That's one of the functions of the church, is to show people how to live, to be an example. The elders are to be examples to the flocks. Jesus was the great example, but all of us are to be examples to other Christians about how to live and how to act. Listen to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. And Jesus says, let me read 26 through 28. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus, listen, brethren, Jesus did not look like a king. There has never been a king that looked and acted like Jesus did while he was here on this earth. Never has there been a king that looked and acted like Jesus Christ. He explains something about that in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. The Scripture says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your minister. And that's what the word minister means here. You know, I've had a number of people, number of men over the years during my ministry who have come to me and said, Brother Billy, I feel led to be a preacher. And I've told every one of them the same thing. You first need to do the work of a Christian. Until you do the works of a Christian, until you're visiting, and until you're studying, and until you're doing all the other things that God has called you to do, God is not calling you to be a pastor right now. Does everybody understand that? There are a lot of works that precede the work of being a pastor. And right here, Jesus says, if you're going to be a minister, let him be your minister. What is a minister here? And this is true of every time the word minister is used in the Bible. Minister does not mean pastor. What does a minister do? What does a minister do? He's a servant. What does he do? He serves. He ministers. He takes care of things. He helps people. Now, Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest, you've got to be a what? You've got to be a servant. Well, here's the king up here, and he's just going to sit on his throne, but you've got to get out there and be a servant. Is that the way it was? No. Look at verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as, you see the analogy here? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, what is another work that Jesus came to do besides giving his life a ransom for many, besides saving his people from their sins? He says, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to what? But to minister, but to be a servant. There's the king. The king is the servant. The king is the servant. Well, now, was that a work that God gave Jesus to do, was to be a minister? Yes, it was, to be a servant. And if we're going to be the bride of Christ, we're going to be ministering. The church is recognized and identified not only about the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace, but the church is identified by the practices and the way the people live. If the church is not going, if the people in the church are just going to be talking about what the Word of God says and not trying to live the way the Word of God says, if they're not going to be servants, they're not doing some of the great works that God has called them to do. Be a servant. Be a servant. That's a work that God's called every one of His children to do, is to be a servant. Every one of us. What do the apostles want to be? There you are. They want to be a chief. They came to Jesus and they said, this is after they've been preaching a while, serving a while, and they said, Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? I expect, the Bible doesn't specifically say Peter was the one that said that, but I expect it was Peter. Peter, if I'm wrong, I ask you to forgive me, but listen, Peter said, which one of us is the greatest? They wanted to know, which one of us is the greatest? And Jesus said, unless you're converted and become as little children, you're not even going to enter the kingdom of heaven. They were out of the kingdom right then because their whole concept was upside down. Their concept was the same way the world thinks, and the world thinks that in order to be important, you've got to be rich, you've got to be in a position of power and authority. And Jesus says, I came not to be ministered unto, I came to minister. I came to serve. And if you're going to be my disciple, Jesus says, you have to serve. You have to be a minister. Go with me in closing. I want you to think about that Jesus, there are a lot of other works. We didn't get to all the works that Jesus came to do and that Jesus did, but I think that one of the most wonderful things, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I want you to hear what Jesus says as He's praying to the Father just before His crucifixion. In John chapter 17, John chapter 17, verse 4. Listen to what Jesus says as He's praying here. John chapter 17 and verse 4, Jesus says, He's praying to the Father. He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished. Do you hear the next two words? I have finished what? This is John 17, verse 4. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, what work was He talking about there? Was He talking about saving His people from their sins? Okay, several heads are going yes. The answer is no. The answer is no. Where was He at this point in time? Where was He? Was He on the cross? Or he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he ever went to the cross. He was in the garden. Now listen carefully. He said while he was in the garden as he was praying to the Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Was he talking about saving his people from their sins? No, he had not yet done that work. You follow what I'm trying to get a point across here. That at this point in time, as Jesus was about to go to the cross of Calvary, he says, I have already, right now, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And he goes on and talks about that. And brethren, it wasn't him saving his people from their sins, but there were many works that he had finished right then. Already, they were finished, right? He had finished, in John 17, had he finished a work? John 17. Now we come to John 19. He's hanging on the cross of Calvary. And while he's hanging on the cross of Calvary in John chapter 19 and verse 30, he makes this statement. In John 19, verse 30, Jesus cries out on the cross and says, what? Three words. What's he say? It is finished. Now, was there a different work that was finished there than the work he was talking about in John 17 when he says, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do? Completely different works. What's my... The point that God has burdened my heart with is, brethren, that we need to not only know the works, listen carefully, I need to know and you need to know all the works that God has for you to do. We need to be doing the works that God has called us to do. We need to be doing those works. And the third thing is, I pray that God will help me and you to do what Jesus did. He finished the works that God gave him to do. Now, brethren, a person doesn't have to live very old to finish the work that God's given him to do. I had a son, Michael, that died 1 year old, 3 days from his first birthday. He had a work to do. You can doubt and deny that all you want to. He had a work to do. He did a great work. He finished his work. Everybody hear what I'm telling you? He finished the work. He finished the work. God took him home. The Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, I fought a good fight. And this is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You hear that? I finished my course. I kept the faith. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That Jesus could say, it is finished. That Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane could say, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. That the Apostle Paul, a human being, could say, I finished the work that God gave me to do. That Jeremiah could say, I finished the work that God gave me to do. Isn't that a wonderful thing that some of God's children can say, God gave me a work to do, I've done that work, and I finished that work. I pray that God will help everybody here that we might understand the works that I might know. As a child of God, the works that we all have as children of God, I pray that God will bless you to know all the special works. There are special works that God has for you to do, and I pray that God will help us when we lay down on our deathbed, and I pray that God will help me to be able to say, I finished the work that you gave me to do. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.